This is the Crime Watch program. Yes, my name is Irene Lasso, and we are going to look at the impact of climate change on livestock. Yes, and this program comes your way every Monday after the news bulletin in English. And I'm here in the studio with Lieutenant Angelo Maluala Cock, and also we have Police Advisor Abubakar Masiho, plus Police Advisor Florence Danielle Lambiel, and Lieutenant Angelo from the National Police Service, Directorate of Border and Livestock. Well, welcome all to the program. The aim of this program is to talk about livestock, and we are going to discuss about this in more details. And without any further ado, let's start with Lieutenant Angelo. First of all, what is livestock?
Thank you, Irene, for giving me the opportunity. Livestock refer to domesticated animal raised or kept in homes, cattle camp, and farm for food, cash, labor, skin, and hide. They including cows, pigs, sheep, goats, horses, donkeys, camel, poultry, and among others.
Right. I was about to ask, what about dogs? Because you say domesticated animals, and then I saw kept for food. Then I remembered. And this morning, by the way, in the newspapers, there's a revelation that there is dog meat now in the butchers. And that, of course, is being done illegally. That's why my mind went to dog, to see if there's any justification that dogs can be kept for meat. All right. Thank you so much for that. And coming to you, Florence, what benefits do we get from livestock?
Yeah, as Mr. Lieutenant Angelo mentioned, livestock is seen first for its feeding properties in some ways. We talk about food purposes, but there are other purposes, and we can find other interesting side on livestock, except food security is bringing milk and meat, but we can use also the livestock, and it is used for labor. You can pull or use it as a local artisanal truck in some ways.
Yeah.
And you can also use other product from the livestock. The urine, for example, has a antiseptic properties that can be used to disinfect sometimes even open small wounds disinfect different things. The dung from the cattle is used as well for lighting up the fire, using to put it on the wall, for example, for basic. Oh, sorry, I'm losing my word today. I think I'm under the shock of this dog meat.
Meat,
so it's like I have to recover. So yeah. Anyway, I want to say this. Yeah, there's multiple usage of the livestock, and of course, then you can sell it. You can sell the skin. You can use the bones in different ways. So and also there's something that we notice in South Sudan. There's a very important cultural impact, and livestock is just also contributing to the prestige of someone or helping someone to find his place in society in some ways.
Right. Thank you so much for that.
Welcome.
Yes. And coming back to you, Lieutenant, what are some of the livestock or laws, regulations in the country?
So, South Sudan laws and regulations geared toward managing its livestock resources, which is estimated at 36 million livestock in South Sudan. We have livestock policy of Ministry of Livestock and Fisheries, oversee livestock development, health and marketing. And also we have animal health regulation governing animal disease control, vaccination and quarantine measures. We have also livestock marketing regulation guidelines for marketing, trading, and exporting livestock, which is for Ministry of Ministry of Trading. And also for Ministry of Environment, we have environment impact assessment requirement for assessing environment impact, livestock, and Police Act 2008, Animal Protection, which is Article 190 up to 200, is talking about protection of livestock in South Sudan. And then with our agency also, we have also live, when we talk also animal, we including also wild animal. We have also laws of 2003, which is also protection of wildlife at National Park, regulating activities that impact the environment and conservation.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much for that. Abubakar Musiho, hearing from you, what is the impact? Or before we continue, is there anything else from the questions I asked your colleague that she would like to weigh in before we, before I give you your question?
Okay. Thank you very much, Irene, for always hosting us here.
Right.
We feel proud to associate with you, Radio Miraya, as we serve our community members. I want to say, in our communities here, we have livestock. And to be specific, I will give an example of a cow. Once you have such an animal in your home, you can be sure of food. The milk, the beef. And actually, on the entire cow, there is nothing you can throw.
Really?
Because Florence mentioned that you can use the dung as manure.
The bones too.
The bones can also be processed to something.
Yes.
The horns can be processed into buttons.
The hide.
The hide can make shoes, belts, nice bags. I saw you with a nice bag this morning and I said, wow. So blood can be processed into a local dish. So what do you throw from a cow?
It appears nothing.
There is nothing. Our role should be to see that this cow continues providing for our homes. And all other things will be sorted. Even if you wanted money, Mr. Angelo talked about the livestock marketing regulation. It means there is a business out of livestock. And they are enabling laws to ensure that the sector moves from one level to another. I think I wanted to add that.
Okay, thank you. Now let's talk about the impact or bring climate change into the mix. So what is the impact of climate change on livestock?
Okay, thank you. Aware of the fact that our main source of livelihood is livestock, amidst the climatic shocks of drought for a long time, like of now, as of now, we are about to enter into the drought season, where maintaining livestock will be challenging to the pastoralists. In terms of food, that is pasture, and then water. Me and you, we can afford to eat from nearby places. I can go with you to a supermarket and we buy food, we buy water, we go to a hotel. There is no hotel for livestock. Their hotel is everywhere. And the grass and water are always in short supply during drought season.
Yeah.
Of course, climate, somebody would say, but what is climate that you're talking about? I want to say climate is the general change in the weather conditions. I know some time back, there are places where we used to have forests, we used to have all sorts of natural resources, but they have been affected in one way or the other because of our history. Now, I would want to say that with all these climate conditions, we see growth of, there is a concern because livestock welfare gets affected.
Okay.
But then, this directly leads into poor feeding. Poor feeding quality. Even if the cows will be eating something around January, February, the quality of what they will be eating will be not
less.
Be able to make them grow healthy, to give us enough meat. Of course, it will remain still a cow, but what is the size of that cow? How much milk can you get? So, all climatic conditions affect livestock sector in terms of loss of weight and growth for the livestock. I would want my livestock to weigh even 500 kilograms, if possible.
Wow.
But now, if because of climatic conditions...
Wouldn't that cow be obese?
We shall always... Me, I will be happy, so long as it is that one.
Because you're looking at the meat and, yes, and the supply.
Yes. Than having a cow which is 50 kilograms, mm, which is a bag of cement.
Yeah.
And I have very many, and yet I'm not getting so much out of them.
Right.
Then... The climatic conditions, like I made mention, affect water resources. So there is water resource, water scarcity, which leads to dehydration and decreased milk production and quality, aware of the fact that 90% of the milk is water.
Mm.
And now, if the cows are not taking enough water, do you think we shall get the milk?
No,
of course,
won't.
No. So... The other effect is there is disease and parasite infestation, which lead to livestock mortality. Livestock is part of the living things,
mm,
and the characteristics are known to all of us. They are born, they live, they die.
Eventually die.
So, when climatic conditions change, you can always be sure that a pastoralist will lose part of his livestock. Remember, there is a transhumance where my brother Angelo talked about,
mm,
movement of livestock from one place to another for long distances. But what are they looking for? It is not for tourism.
No, green
they
pastures
are looking for
and
water and pasture.
Yeah.
In the process, they get infected with diseases out of mixing with other animals. Remember, mm, when we are children, we are vaccinated, yeah, against the killer diseases, polio, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
Now, the livestock in most cases is not immunized. You treat it when it is
sick.
Already sick.
Mm.
Then climatic conditions generally, if I would talk about heat, aware of the fact that around March there was excessive heat here,
yeah,
which made the National Ministry of Education
to close schools. Yeah.
But livestock management continued. Were they not living under harsh conditions?
They were.
So the livestock gets stressed. You find a cow which has been so polite in the morning becoming aggressive even to the herder.
Mm.
And that one affects their fertility. They cannot be able to produce. The behavior patterns will also change.
Mm.
And this is not a very good sign. As pastoralists, we need to factor in ways of working with the experts, with stakeholders,
mm,
to improve on other conditions which are likely to be favorable for livestock.
Right. So how big of a challenge is climatic impacts in South Sudan? Have those been felt yet?
Yeah, we are feeling this.
Mm.
But of course, sometimes people may not be aware, mm, that the challenge is big. Our role should be continuous engagement.
Mm.
Like if you go to Bentiu, Florence talked about the benefits of livestock. You will find people ferrying water from the river using donkeys.
Mm.
And you have a donkey, but because of climatic conditions being harsh, there is a drought, there is water floods, the cow, the donkey will also not be able to move in a muddy.
Ferry that water, yeah.
Yes, to bring for you the water at home. So at the end of the day, you may harvest that water, which is unclean and unsafe for family use.
Mm-hmm.
But also, when the water is much, you may not find grazing areas. You don't find grazing areas. And what happens? It leads to mortality,
yeah,
of the livestock.
Right.
Yes.
Then, in other words, animals die and you will not be able to feed your family or even sell it for any money. Now, thank you so much there.
Yes.
Florence, how should we mitigate the impact of climate change on livestock?
Well, I guess we have to reconsider the way we're dealing with livestock at the moment. The way we're dealing with it is also a habit, and it's putting back those habits into questions and, mm, maybe adjust them or change them. For example, my colleague Abu Bakr mentioned the water. Water is a big issue, as we know. Then how can we preserve this water? How can we manage it in a better way so we can have the livestock needs the water, but also taking into consideration that agriculture needs to have access to the water. Mm. So it needs to bring awareness of the scarcity of water. Climate change also make difference. There's less rain. Maybe some spots where there used to be a lot of water is going to be less water. So how do we manage that? Mm. This is one option. We need also to, why not? We mentioned agriculture, and to me, agriculture and livestock are two sides of the same coins, because they are made to bring us food as the first aim. Yeah. So how do we can maybe try to find out a new way of practicing agriculture, like mixed farming, irrigation. Mm-hmm. Regarding the livestock, we can try to consider zero grazing or moving them in different ways, maybe not so long. It's a whole concept. We have to take all the elements all together. And also, vaccination is something that is important and could be developed.
Is that happening?
No, it's not happening here at the moment. Mm. So these are a few hints that we could follow and just try to adjust to this climate change.
Right. Thank you so much. And Lieutenant Angelo, let's talk about the immunization. I think as other parts of the country do immunize their livestock, but as it appears, we maybe don't, or maybe on a very small scale. Why is that so?
So that one actually is, cannot be able to answer that question, because
Director
it would
of
be
Border and Livestock. Yeah. Okay.
It would be up on the Ministry of Livestock, because they are the one carrying out the vaccination. It's good.
Okay.
I suppose one of them should be here to answer that question, why they are not vaccinated.
Would you like to jump in?
Yeah, thank you very much. Mm. I attended a national livestock conference last year in Juba. All stakeholders from the different states were present, including officials from the National Ministry of Livestock and Fisheries. Mm. One thing which is very true, the practice of vaccination is being done, although on small scales. Mm. Some particular farmers, and I would say pastoralists, have been trained to support colleagues do vaccination. Mm-hmm. The UN FAO, that is Food and Agriculture Organization, has been at the lead of this. Quite often, they move even including to places like Terekeka, to the cattle camps, and conduct vaccination. Why vaccination? To increase on the resistance of disease infection to the cattle.
Yeah.
And with that, we can have a healthy cow. I also heard something while in that livestock conference of one health.
Mm.
Because you can't go to treat the livestock and you don't treat the what? The pastoralists.
The herd.
They also get infected one or the other.
Yeah.
So they have a concept of one health, where they treat both the herders and their families,
as well as the
cattle, which is a good practice.
Mm.
I only request that there should be further discussions, because of the different locations of the pastoralists. Imagine somebody going a place which is very far.
Yeah.
Accessing these extension services may become very
difficult.
Hard.
Yeah.
And even if they have a stock to support them during the time they are on transhumance, it may become hard.
Mm.
Because if a cow is sick, it needs time to rest.
Yeah.
But remember,
they
are moving long distance. Where do you find the time for these 20 cows, for example, to rest as you are treating them?
Mm.
Yes.
Right. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for also listening to us. And if you have any question there, and you're a cattle herder, you have your livestock, and you have any question, or if you're affected by climate change and you have been grappling with questions here and there, we have people in the studio with me to help you through. You can call on 0912067879 or 0912068101, 0912068 7929 for any question or any comment. But if for any reason you're unable to contact us on those lines, send an SMS on 0912-177-141. Let's take this caller. Yes, Miraya, good morning.
Good morning, Irene Lass.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Call me Galwang Makwe.
Yes, Galwang. What's your question or comment?
Yes, I would like to ask a question.
Hmm.
How can we know that those livestock in the water, I mean...
Oh, no. I have lost Galwang Makwe. I do not know. I cannot guess what the question was, but most definitely was related to livestock. If you can, Galwang Makwe, you can call us again, 0912067879. I think he was relating water and cattle, but the question was not very, very clear. But yes, let's continue with the Crime Watch program. Lieutenant Angelo, let's speak about the transhumous process when animals walk for very long distances. Since you're the you're in the Directorate of Border and Livestock, just paint us a picture. How often does this happen, and how in big numbers does this happen?
So actually, moving of the livestock is randomly here in South Sudan. Actually, it's not organized.
Mm.
Sometimes it's when the herders move from place, they don't inform the authority.
So you also you are caught by surprise.
Yes, yes, we are caught, and sometimes it also bring the conflicts among the communities
right.
where they are moved because as well. My brother food it in climate change. Sometimes we wait that some areas are being affected by flood. And then they start moving from that place to the other place, which are not flooded.
Yeah.
So when they go there, maybe they go earlier before the harvest. Like now we are in the season of the harvest.
Mm.
Some places are harvest earlier and some places are not yet.
Yeah.
So when they move from the affected area to the safe area, they also cause a problem in the farming.
Yeah, yeah.
So it needs also authority to intervene and bring in also the security to guard the movement of the transhuman.
Yes.
So
and the authority is you, your directorate, right?
Exactly.
So how are you working with those herders?
Well, for us actually, we are not dealing with the animal within. But we are dealing with cross-border animals.
Oh, for so like animals that maybe that would be coming from Uganda, for example.
Exactly.
Okay. From so you're not the domestic director?
No, we are not domestic. Okay. Because those are upon the state government.
Mm.
So they are the one to organize the police and also sometimes cooperation with the military.
Right. But you still working hand in hand, domestic
exactly,
and...
Exactly.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah. Would you like to jump in, Abubakar?
Yeah, I want to say we have had a very good practice.
As you hold your thought, let me hope this is our caller earlier. Yes, Mirai, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
This is John.
Oh, this is John. Yes, John. What's your question?
I'm actually, you know, coming on the main road from Yuru. I'm not driving to Juba, but I have enjoyed the discussion in the car.
Okay.
It's very interesting. You know, the question that I would like to have, you know, somebody put it before, talking about, you know, making our livestock, you know, more economic beneficial rather than to make it as a tourist attraction.
Mm.
We have seen, you know, some Kawajana coming and done with Mundari. That was not
taking
the benefit
pictures.
Of having. Taking
right.
pictures and all that.
Right.
I think it was. So how can the government make sure that we have huge livestock,
yeah,
that our livestock
million.
Is get a lot of contribution out to our economy.
Mm.
You know, in the place where I drive, you find a lot of cars on the main road and everywhere.
Mm.
And this, if the government would have invested in it, would have benefited, you know, the South Sudanese people.
Right.
How can the ministry and our partners that are helping you know, improve our livestock, you know, can contribute to make sure that they contribute to our national economy.
Right.
That's one. Two, quickly, you know, regarding the vaccination, you know, by the way, these cattle keepers are supposed to pay taxes, the animal tax, is not yet utilized at the moment. if the government was supposed, you know, to work hard with the partners in the underlying ministry to make sure that the animals are vaccinated and then the people are supposed to pay animal tax, that can also be another generating income for the government.
Okay.
So how possible, you know, can the government make sure that this thing is put in place?
Okay.
Thank you.
And it's working. Yes. Who will be taking that?
Okay. I want to say something.
Okay. On which part?
On what John has shared.
Okay.
I love his attention to Radio Miraya programs.
Mm.
Even when he's driving,
he still has tuned to tune in. Yes.
How I wish I get a chance to meet him one day when he's in Juba.
He's our ardent listener. He was in Juba.
Okay. Mm. That is good.
Right.
So, he's interested in knowing how livestock should be made more beneficial, mm-hmm. more commercial than simply us looking at numbers.
Yes, how do we attract herders into subscribing to?
Yeah. We need to engage these herders. A herder has a parent, a herder has a brother, a herder has a community leader. So the leadership is at all levels. Even in a cattle camp, there is a name I came to learn, Galiwang.
Gadluag.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Yeah, a leader in a cattle camp.
That's a leader in the cattle
camp. Yes, Irene, you didn't know this?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
I'm learning.
Good you have learned.
Yes.
So there is leadership at all fronts.
Right.
And when we share this information, the leadership should go ahead to translate some of this in the local language.
Mm-hmm.
We are unfortunate that we have not translated it in the local version. For my brother who is in Irol, in a cattle camp, to keenly follow.
Mm.
But I believe you will summarize it in one way or the other.
All right.
Such that they understand.
Okay, just hold the thought. I want to take at least three questions before we really continue. Miraya, good morning.
Good morning, Irene Lasso.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Who
this is
Galong.
Back again.
Yes, welcome back. What is your question?
Yeah, my question was I wanted to know, because livestock in today's world have been bad because they've been killed, hunted, and what is the safety of livestock when it comes to people, when it comes to hunters? Because, because we are talking of domestic, right?
Yes, domestic, yeah.
Domestic, yeah.
The ones kept at home. Are there hunters at home?
There's some other hunters at home.
You mean the raiders, the people who raid cattle?
Yeah, those who raid cattle.
Hmm.
Nowadays, because of the economic crisis, too many cattle have been
raided,
killed for the meat to be sold out. What is your advice to the people who usually kill for the consumption?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is that the question? Because earlier you spoke about water and livestock, so I thought your question would
because I was confused before. I was thinking about livestock in the water, marine livestock.
No. All right, thank you so much. All right, thank you so much.
But I have to know that we are talking about the one we keep at home.
Yeah, the one we keep at home, indeed. Okay, let's take the last question. Miraya, good morning. Hello, Miraya. You must be listening to your radio. Can you just turn your volume, the volume of your radio down? Yes, Miraya, good morning. Okay, this person is still connected to his radio, and that's quite an interruption. Yes, Miraya, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mariah.
How are you doing today?
I'm fine. This is Abraham from WOW.
Yes, Abraham. What is your question?
Yeah, my question is this, Ari, to the visitors who is in the radio room. In the livestock now, they are protected well because now they are even in the term of the business. Is going well, and even now if you can get the one cow, maybe it's raised to $2,000 or $1,000 now in the market, and we see. his mean he have income. Second, now the safety of the livestock. If you go to the bushes, to the auction, you know in WoW sometimes they can kill almost 100 or more than in Juba, they are always, I think. And what is the safety of those cows if the people make it as a life only to eat meat every day? Do you think the cow, they will not finish?
Do you feel it's an issue when people eat too much meat?
Yeah, Abraham. It's a very issue. Yeah.
So we need to be preserving the cattle. Okay, Kala, shukran.
Okay.
Shukran, New Zealand. Yes, Abraham is worried at the rate that people are consuming meat. Our cattle or livestock will finish. Is that a true statement?
No.
Yes, Abraham. I mean, Abu Bakr.
Yeah, thank you very much. I will complete what Johnny had asked.
Yes, please.
Quickly.
Please.
That the government of South Sudan, with the stakeholders, the National Police Services, the SSPDF, the National Minister of Livestock, and those relevant ministries at state level.
Yeah.
Are doing their best to have the livestock sector developed. There is even a laboratory to test animal related diseases just in Gudere at the National Ministry here.
Right.
So all these are efforts aimed at ensuring that the sector is moved to another level. And the issue of security is also being addressed. And remember, each person has a role to play in enhancing security in their areas.
Right.
Once security is fully restored in all places, of course, we have revenue collection. Yeah, even in Juba, so.
Are these people paying the tax, the herders?
That is an area of discussion.
Yeah,
they may pay indirect tax through buying vaccines
For
the livestock.
Right.
But they may not be necessarily charged. Of course, we can always discuss that.
Yeah.
Then Abraham asked a question, but I'll begin with his fear that the slaughterhouses, the abattoirs across the states
are very busy.
But remember, when Angelo was talking about livestock, he mentioned the use. Why do we keep the livestock? For food, for cash, for labor, for skins and hides.
Yeah.
So where shall we get the skins and hides?
No, plus I think these animals reproduce.
Yes.
Yeah, so you eat this one, tomorrow there are three more that have been
rebirthed. Yeah, I talked about that, that the climate change
might affect
reproduction.
The fertility, yes.
Now,
yes.
If we sort the climate issues, the shocks, these cows will be able to reproduce.
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay, let me give a chance to Mr. Angelo. Do you have any question you would like to answer?
Yeah, well, I will go back to John.
Yes.
Because he was even asking the role of the government regarding the livestock.
Yeah.
So, we know the number of the livestock in South Sudan is bigger than the number
the
of the
population,
people.
Yes.
So we have 36 million, and the number of the people is 12.
Against around 12 million, yes.
Is it, at three times. Okay. Then, the problem with the government face is the utilization of livestock.
Oh.
Especially cattle that are not well utilized.
And we have someone complaining, Ali, we are overeating cattle, yet the government is saying we are underutilizing them.
Yeah, we are not utilizing them because the number is big and there's no specific area where you located that animals, especially for vaccination to take place or for grazing of water is also a problem for the government. That's why I say it's not utilized.
Yeah, okay.
So it's concerning now is the tax. So how can you tax the livestock which are not utilized? So we need also to include the community,
okay,
to understand the role of the government and to understand the benefit of the livestock in the country.
Right.
So each and everyone has his own and doesn't want to be count. He doesn't want to be taxed.
So people are hiding the numbers of cattle hiding. They have
when
in there.
They don't tell you the real number.
Okay.
You
know?
So also it's a problem.
Right.
Yes, we are doing business with them.
Mm.
Right now we are exporting huge number of livestock to neighboring country.
Okay.
Congo, Uganda. Mm. So, as Muzungu mentioned, we take tax from indirect. When they are exporting here, this is where we take tax. But when they are grazing them, we don't take tax.
Okay, right.
So it's also
that's clear enough. But I think John is advocating that you introduce that tax because it's a way of making more money for the government.
Yes, actually, the government is working on it because up to date, Ministry of Livestock and Fisheries has no act. So they are still working on it and deserve so that they will be serious.
Okay, hopefully that will be included. Thank you so much, Florence. I mean, there was a question from Gatluak about the cattle raids and the perpetrators. What advice would you give for those people who are terrorizing others over their cattle?
Well, if I remember the other Radio Myriad talk show, we had the occasion to talk about the cattle raiders and what we could do to prevent it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
My advice would be really if we have some cattle raiders, you know, listening to us now today,
hopefully,
yeah. It's just like, how would you feel if you were the one being raided?
Yeah, it's a loss.
So try to put yourself. Okay, we understand there's some reasons. If you're doing a raid, we're not going to discuss about the motivation now, but there's some reason. But try to put yourself in the other's shoes, and how would you feel that you're here, you suddenly see your cattle being taken away, in the worst case, your family being hurt or killed, and everything you've been working for being destroyed in a few seconds.
Yeah. That's painful.
Yeah.
Yes, Abraham. Munki Bilarabi, in the same, addressing the same thing, speaking to the perpetrators.
No. I don't know if I'm going to say that I'm going to say that and I got in the Kalamban Tasir Al Munak El Moashe, the Junova Sudan, our field, Junova Sudan. For the little Wajal del Majirim Bezat El Biesrup, are you not? Aw Al Moashe?
No.
Any bird or none of the blasm to hot knapsack with Surab. But as all into Lahajat, Lan Lahajat, Lente Hajatap, Uzol Yashar, into Bishaur Kev, a Shura Kunsuno, and a Shura Mabukun Quays, but not so Sura. Is I enter Hajat in the Tishor in Hajada? Is the shield of Makways, not soon of the shower ball, Lana Dal Mahem or Kuludon, or a Pigeon of Sudan?
Okay. Alas, as we conclude Risala, I like here at Munkin.
I encourage listeners to explore several livestock management practices and benefit more from cattle and lessen the pressure on the environment, enhance promoting climate, peace, and security.
All right, thank you so much. Yes, Florence, as we conclude, what is your final message?
What I was listening to, especially the answer to Mr. John, I was thinking about another option. How could the government actually use this enormous cattle that is here in South Sudan? Mm-hmm. So we talked about food, we talked about the diverse product that livestock can bring. But if I give an example from my country, we also
Which country?
Which is Switzerland.
Right.
And in Switzerland, we also do have cattle.
Yes,
and the cattle
do.
Is quite important. Mm-hmm. And in just before the summer, when we have to bring them up in the mountains, some cows, they have to fight among themselves in order to find, let's say, a leader. We call the cow the queen, who's going to lead the herd up in the mountains.
Mm.
And actually, this cultural thing became a touristic thing as well. Yeah. It's been promoted, it's been pictures. I mean, so nowadays it's a big, it's almost like a festival, and bringing people from abroad, or they come and they want to watch the cows fighting, and then when the queen is selected, they put flowers on the cow. So it became something that is a touristic attraction. And this is also a way of bringing income and positive things, using the cattle in a different way and bringing income to the country and promoting a different, like, tourism and travels and different areas of economic side.
Right. Okay, thank you so much. And finally, Mr. Masiho.
Yeah, thank you. Florence has reminded me around 2013, I watched a goat race.
Okay.
In Munyonyo in Uganda.
Oh, that's in Uganda.
The
yes.
goats were put to a stage to fight. Of course, whether they fought or not is another point of discussion. And I enjoyed it. But of course, as a younger child, even in the villages, we used to have a fight of the livestock. Then we would get entertained while grazing.
Yeah.
I want to say a lot of discussion should begin now about livestock.
Yeah.
And particularly the best practices that we will see the sector move from where we are today to the next and most sustainable. If I have livestock, I should be able to keep it. Than struggling longer distances. Remember, tomorrow when you become weak and old, you are not able to move the 2-3 kilometers.
All right. Thank you so much. I'll have to cut you there because we are about to enter the time of the news in Arabic. Thank you so much, gentlemen and lady. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Right. And yes, that has been our Crime Watch program for this week. And thank you so much, too, for asking the questions. I hope you have been answered. Well, my name is Irene Lasu. Coming up is a news bulletin in Arabic. A very good morning.